Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis' fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Let's fill it up high.
Okay, real talk, Dennis. I'm already on the third cup here.
I know. I know we record these early, but goodness gracious. Yeah, I got you on that. It's definitely that kind of morning, you know.
Yes. Yes,
it's,
sir.
You know, the first weekend since the conference is over.
Oh, man.
So I can't tell you.
Did you get some rest afterwards?
Little bit, yeah.
Okay, good.
You know, I think I'm thinking back, you know, so our CISFA conference ended Thursday. We are a little ahead of schedule. I think we talked about this on Friday. Because the business meeting is the first thing in the morning. Doesn't take that long. Mm-hmm. And then Virginia Higgins from U.S. Department of Ed was luckily available to start her federal update early. Mm-hmm. So we probably wrapped up around 11:30. She had extra time this year, which probably helped. Because there's always a lot coming out from the Fed. So we're done. And then Thursday afternoon, what did I do? Not a whole lot. I think I went to bed a little early.
Okay.
Because Friday, you know, Friday just kind of got away from me on non-work stuff. I had lunch with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to worry about getting COVID from him because he already had it months ago.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. He made it through okay. You know, he's young and strong, you know, so younger than me, I should say. He's a professor. So, you know, he's old enough to be a professor. But no, we had lunch and then I went to. Have you heard of this place called Total Wine and More?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I could easily see if there was apartments living above that I would live there.
You were in seventh heaven, weren't you?
They are like a mall where the mall has it all.
Yes,
they've got it all. Again, I'm not even doing advertising for them. I think they advertise for themselves in
their
name.
Like BevMo on crack.
And just a little cleaner and nicer too.
Oh, excuse me.
You know, I've been to plenty of BevMos and they're okay, mm-hmm. but they can be a little disjointed, you know, but this one, oh my goodness. This is the one in Pasadena in Colorado, right next to favorite independent bookstore, Vroman's.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I got to find an apartment right above those guys right there. Books. And also this, separate from that, Vroman's had opened up a wine bar just before COVID hit. So most people did not get to experience it. I did not get to experience it.
In the bookstore?
Yes.
Upstairs or downstairs?
That I'm not 100% sure. I think it was supposed to be downstairs near the door because it's darkened right now.
Yeah.
So I never got to experience it. So when they really reopen again, that's just going to be a haven. Because you're going to mix wine with books for me? That's crazy. And next door, then, is the Total Wine.
I feel like, you know, if that happens, I may have to come and get you. Physically come and get you.
Yeah, because I'll never leave the house again.
And I'd have to come pick you up.
Yeah, I'm going to have to become a creative writer to make up for all the Total Wine and More of Roman's hours.
And then have your iPad or your laptop there, you know.
That's
your office now. New office is at Vroman's.
And occasionally I go next door when I need a bottle for home. Total Wine. But no, I was at Total Wine picking up some champagne to celebrate the end of the week with some other friends in a smaller circle. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun there. Yeah. They got the good stuff.
That place is intense.
Yeah.
Now the there's one closer in my part of the hood.
Yeah.
In Northridge.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they're the ones that Northridge is the one because of where I live pops up first by location,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I got some extra sleep. So conference is behind us. So you know what that means today is. It's a newsy news day.
Yes.
So, heck, let's just get going on this. So, before we get into a slew of updates from FSA, here's a featured training event offered by CASFA. On Wednesday, March 17th, which I think is next week, if I've got the date right, I probably don't, CASFA Training Committee will offer the NASFA-U credential topic of satisfactory academic progress, provided by experienced and credentialed NASFA-U training colleagues. The training will provide an overview of Satisfactory Academic Progress, or SAP as we know it, and guide us through the evaluation process, appeals, policy considerations, and more. Completion of the course, in addition to the receipt of the self-study guide, will assist you in taking the NASFA Professional Credential Test if you want to. That the test part is optional. Now, the cost for the event is only $50, which is a big savings because the class, the study guide, and the test together is like $500. No CASFA membership is required for the training, and you'll get a discount voucher that lowers the cost of the test if you decide to do it to $49.95. So $100 in, you know, you can get both things done. We'll include a link to the registration site in our show notes.
All right, Dennis. Now let's get into the super fun and exciting updates from FSA, or Federal Student Aid. FSA posted an electronic announcement last week, Friday, regarding the designation as a Title III or Title V institution and waiver of the non-federal share requirement for Federal Work Study and FSEOG. So normally colleges that have the Federal Work Study and or FSEOG programs are required to provide a non-federal share for their programs. For example, if you receive $100,000 for Federal Work Study, you will need to add non-federal funds to the pot, which accounts for your institutional share. But institutions that are designated as Title III or Title V institutions for 2021 will receive a waiver of this requirement. This will apply to the 2021-2022 award year. Now, here's the important part to all of this. The determination is done through an automated process. OPE, or the Office for Postsecondary Education, which is part of the U.S. Department of Education, created an automated designation process by reviewing their own data in IPEDS, the Integrated Postsecondary Education Data System. IPEDS data comes from every college that participates in federal aid programs. For most people in financial aid offices, the data is provided by the college's Office of Institutional Research or Institutional Effectiveness, depending upon which name came up on the side of the coin tossed in the air by your campus administration. So, Dennis, do we qualify as a Title III or a Title V institution?
Yes, we do. We are under Title III, which is where the Hispanic Serving Institutions, or HSIs, mm-hmm. fall under, and it's based upon percentage of students who are of a Hispanic background, and I believe everyone in our district does, and pretty much most community colleges in the state of California either are Title III or Title V, Title V or some other federal grant areas, but yes, we mm-hmm. do.
Awesome. So everyone, will include a link to the FSA electronic announcement in our show notes.
Yeah, this is important because if you are somewhat of a new administrator or you're even an older one, in the olden days, there was a process for you to, in a sense, apply for your waiver. You still didn't have to provide much data because the data exists with the federal government in IPEDS, their data system for this. So it's automated now because some people are like, I forgot to fill out the form. Well, there was no form to fill out. Aren't we all lucky?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you hear the show? Didn't you hear what you said?
That's right. We're exactly. When I do this all, I'll tell you as we go on with the news here, I do this all the time with my colleagues, our fellow financial aid people from the district when we're on a meeting, and they'll be like, mm-hmm. I was wondering, did anyone read the article or does anyone know what's going on with like SEOG funding or whatever? I'm like, well, you know, if you listen to the podcast.
Told you all about that.
I believe Dana did a news story on that. So we've got a couple directors now who are podcast savvy. Listening to us. I think Ludwig out there occasionally will listen to us from Trade
Awesome.
Tech.
That is
and
so
a couple
cool.
others, you know. So on top of our non-financial aid peeps out there, way to go, Mikey K. give you a mid-show call out there, who's healing well from his gallbladder being extricated from him.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was being shipped away, deported. You know, what can I say? It was an illegal gallbladder.
Oh, man.
But back to the news, everybody. At least for me and you, we understand, you know, that first FSA update and such and that. But here's one that's probably a little more confusing here. So FSA posted an electronic announcement last Friday indicating the awareness that there was an issue with some FAFSA applicants showing $1 for adjusted gross income, or AGI, when they use the IRS data retrieval tool, or DRT, when doing their FAFSAs. So is that enough acronyms for you there, Dana?
That's plenty.
Yeah, yes. That's what you say now. In short, what FSA found out was that these instances of $1 AGIs was related to an online tool from the IRS called Non-Filers Enter Payment Info Here. That's literally the name of the tool. The tool was created to assist people who normally do not file tax returns but were likely eligible to receive an economic impact payment, or EIP. What's an EIP? It's a stimulus check. So that's the big name of that. So if you're going to get a stimulus check. So individuals were directed to use this new IRS tool to register for their stimulus checks they were entitled to receive. However, apparently some people did not follow the guidance of the IRS. They used the tool but were actually required to file a tax return. When this occurred, the system apparently defaulted the person's AGI to $1. What's this mean for FAFSA filers? Well, there's no ICER flag for this at all. And in most cases, the IRS request flag that we get in the results of the FAFSA will show as 02. You know, and that indicates the data retrieval tool was used by the FAFSA filer and none of the data was changed. So to end this story before it becomes a novel, because it's a long FSA update here, FSA is working with the IRS to determine the extent of this issue. And at this time, at least institutions like ours are not required to actively identify applications that may meet this condition. I think there was more in the electronic announcement, but I got too tired to read on. For those with stronger wills than me and Dana, we'll include a link to the announcement in our show notes.
All right, Dennis, here's the shortest update from FSA I could find. FSA posted an electronic announcement yesterday, March 8th, indicating the requirement that federal student loan borrowers complete the annual student loan acknowledgement prior to disbursement will not go into effect for the 2021-2022 award year. This is meant to reduce the administrative burden on colleges as a result of disruptions due to COVID. And that's it.
Oh, thank goodness, Dana. I think we're going to take a little musical break right here.
Sounds
before
good.
We continue on with more news.
And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Definitely need a fill up after all that excitement, right?
Yeah, I'm on cup number 5 now.
Cup number 5. That's good because we are on news item number 5. Good matchup there.
Yes.
Okay, so now for a break from FSA announcements, let's see what's out there in the mainstream press and see what they're writing about. So an article in USA Today, penned by Laura Papano of the Hechinger Report, talks about, quote-unquote, a gobsmacking number of students indeed aren't applying to college. Seconded with, are we missing an entire generation? That's a byline on that. Seems like we're in a dire situation when it comes to students applying for college, let alone applying for aid. FAFSA numbers are bad enough, down 9.2%. year to year as of February 19th. In high school serving lower income students, it's down 12.1%. And in schools with a high percentage of students of color, the decline is the worst, 14.6%.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty bad. Mm-hmm. The gobsmacking remark comes from Bill DeBond, Director of Data and Evaluation for the National College Attainment Network, or NCAN. Based on the numbers, it makes it appear that low-income students will not be able to attend colleges or a college as colleges commit some forms of aid to early applicants, both admissions or FAFSA applicants, you know. So because of that, late applicants, if people ever get on the ball, may not have as much aid available. Mm. The article continues and is a decent read with interviews with high school seniors who are in the midst of applying for college and some of them who are not. There's a lot here regarding the reasons kids give for their decisions, but I'll leave it to our listeners to delve deeper into the article. We'll include a link to the article in our show notes. It's interesting the takes of some of the students on why they've decided to hold back. You know, many of the things we've heard about, again, due to pandemic,
right,
preparation, concern for family. But there's a good number of students from across the nation interviewed in the article. So good going there, USA Today.
All right, Dennis, so it's been a while since we've gave NASFA some free time on our show, and this time we get to highlight someone from the California Community Colleges. Mentioned in the NASFA Daily News from March 4th, a spotlight was put on Ernesto Neri, Director of Financial Aid Services at Merritt College. He's part of the current class in the Diversity Leadership Program. If you read to the end of the article on the NASFA website, you'll find out about Ernesto's life as he worked his way through college to the position he holds today. And as a bonus, you'll find out how many dogs he owns. Can you guess, Dennis?
I don't know. It's got to be more than one.
Yeah, he's got four.
Four, okay.
Four.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, you know, actually, I read the article. I forgot the number, but it was like he's got Shelties. Which are these Shetland Shepherds or something.
Oh, man.
Like a throw off of a Lassie dog kind of thing. But multicolor, you know, it's where it's the black, the brown, the white in a whole kind of nice coat.
That's a lot of grooming.
Yeah, exactly. See, I'm a non-kind of dog groomer kind of guy. I had a Basset Hound. Basset Hounds don't need grooming until their hair gets, you know, like they shed their winter coat. Oh, my gosh. I remember the first year I had them, came spring. I could brush for hours, and all that would fall off of him was hair. My apartment was just looked like it had a fine coating of hair everywhere.
Wow, isn't that something?
Oh, my goodness, some dogs.
It's on that level. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, Bassets are kind of short-haired dogs. You know, just like little pugs, you know, and stuff like that. Those are the kind of dogs I can live with. Well, Dana, here's something else from NASFA I found in their daily news from March 4th. Apparently, Pell Grant recipients are eligible for a federal internet subsidy during this pandemic. The subsidy is handled by the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC. Under the Emergency Broadband Benefit Program, eligible households can receive up to $50 per month to help pay for broadband internet service. How do they qualify? Well, one of the criteria, in addition to others, is someone in the household received the federal Pell Grant during the current award year. There are some other criteria, but this one may be key for a lot of our students, at least.
Yeah.
So if you have lots of time, you can read through the full 95-page posting from the FCC on this. So have at it, really. I look through it. I use Control-F on my computer here, search, you know, for find, to find the word Pell Grant.
Smart, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that was so much easier. And found the first mention on page 20 of the document under item number 43. Unfortunately, I couldn't exactly figure out how someone applies for the program, but then later I saw that it appears this program has been authorized, but no start date has been given yet.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I found that because on top of having this super long document, which we'll include a link to, there is a more consumer-friendly FCC page that we'll include a link to, too. That's fcc.gov/broadband benefit. And when you go to that page, it'll tell you the program has been authorized, but no start date yet. They're working on that. But, yeah, that could be an interesting thing and useful for a lot of students.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, Dennis, it's time to hit you up again for some training. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So next week on Tuesday, March 16th, Adigo by Ascendium is offering a webinar titled Retooling Your Time Management to Work For You. We can learn strategies like chunking, blocking, and the Eisenhower Principle. Sounds interesting, and best of all, it's free.
Yay!
We'll make sure to include a link to the registration site in our show notes.
Yeah, that could actually be pretty useful there. I mean, I'm pretty good at time management, but if this, I don't know what the chunking and the blocking stuff does, and I have no idea what the Eisenhower principle is.
Right. I know it's actually sounds like something different.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I might just send you to that.
Just to find out what exactly.
Yes, please report back.
Yeah.
So, Dana, if I send you to that, maybe I should go to something just for myself here.
Okay.
NASFA's Blue Icon Advisors is offering a session titled Let's Talk Using Data in the Financial Aid Office. They are offering this session on March 25th, but make certain that you sign up for the one that's intended for community colleges. That one starts at 11 a.m. The session is supposed to help you in determining the kinds of data you should track versus what you probably already are tracking. Hmm. A link to the NASFA page on this will be in our show notes for all the data peeps out there that want to learn more about this from their Blue Icon group. And Dana, our last news item of the day here, in case we've actually gone this far into the news coverage, and we did, and this is item number 10, people. Wow, what a big day for everybody. I want to discuss the last item in training offering, as it's something you show every day when working with the staff in our office and across campus and district. So Atago by Ascendium, again, is offering a session titled Uniting Personalities for a Positive Work Environment. On March 31st is the training. As mentioned in the posting from CASFA for this session, because this is where we get all our news on training, at least, where we've stolen all of this in the past. learning and appreciating what makes a person tick can have a positive impact in your workplace. I think both before and during this whole pandemic, Dana, you've been really good at this and on top of this. Whether planning our monthly birthday celebrations, our retirement parties, or graduation parties for our student workers, you and your, is it the shenanigans crew that you call it?
Yes, yes.
The shenanigans crew. Yes. Stay on top of this really well and keeping our staff tied together, which has been important for us, you know, during these times when we're apart.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Got to stay connected.
Yes. So if you're interested in attending, we're going to include a link in our show notes to the Atago page where they have all their smart sessions available for signing up for free. So that's also a shout out to you there, Dana.
Hey.
You know, you keep all of our people tied together.
And I
think,
hope so.
And, you know, I think, and so. I think staff definitely appreciate that.
And my emails about, you know, give me money.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah,
so shakedowns.
My wallet doesn't appreciate it as much, but. But what am I supposed to do when Dana just keeps calling?
What can I? Yeah.
Yeah, I should never have gone Venmo or something, right?
Nah, that's just worse.
That's just another way.
Or Zelle, yeah.
Or Zelle, either one of them now.
Uh-huh.
Although it has helped with my collecting money from others.
Oh, okay. So it benefits you and your situation.
Yeah, but I've definitely sent more money away.
When it comes to me, yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Dana, you know what time it is. It's time for another little musical interlude here. And just like that, we're back for the last sip segment, everybody. As Dana's probably on her sixth fill up now.
Man, number 10.
Yeah, I know. Well, they say stay hydrated, right?
Yes, I had a couple of shots of espresso.
Okay. My goodness.
In between, you know, I had to clarify.
Now, just to clarify, do you have a fancy pants coffee maker for this?
Yeah, Dennis, I got my own coffee shop in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah.
My poor mother. Oh my word. I swear if I bring another piece of equipment in there, I might have to come move in with you. Like
yeah.
the equipment has taken over the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and unless you're in like a fancier home, you know, nowadays the whole thing with the fancy houses is they have like a appliance garage, I think as they call it.
Okay.
It's literally, so like if you have like a wall of cabinets, uh-huh. and sometimes they're just cabinets, no counter space, you know, from top to bottom.
Uh-huh.
It's a garage. So it's like a little flip up door that you put all your stuff, like the toaster, your coffee Smart. Makers and other things. Unless okay. you go really fancy. Uh-huh. Sometimes in that wall of stuff will it's be your coffee there. Maker built in. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's, oh my gosh. You just gave me some ideas mm-hmm. here.
I think even in yours, you could build one if you want to.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like an old roll-up desk kind of door, and you kind of then slip it in there, and then it's just part of the wall of cabinets. So it's not taking up counter space.
Yeah, because that's exactly what's happening. Because what's happening? Like, I have, look, I got espresso machine. I got a milk frother.
Of course.
I got tea kettles. Man, I got all kind of stuff going
on. You have a coffee bean grinder?
You know what? I was thinking of getting one.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm more of a tea drinker.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Uh-huh. So, I didn't end up getting it. But okay. When we had Anna Faye on the show a while back, uh-huh. I was looking at the coffee press that she mentioned.
Oh, okay. Like a French press? Uh-huh. Is that what she's got?
Yeah, the mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so, oh, yeah, I'm into it. And even, I hope we don't get in trouble when I mention the name, but I've even looked at the Nespresso machine. Like,
that's okay. No, I know like a couple of people that really have those and they just love them.
Yeah, they it looks. You know? Yeah.
I look, like if George Clooney uses it, right? Can't
that's
be bad.
See, and that's such a I'm such a sucker. It's because of him. He makes it look so cool. Like,
it's George Clooney. Forget his politics, which he's pretty good about not letting out on too much. You know, he's just, yeah, everyone wants to be him.
But if I could have swag like him by drinking an espresso, hey, I'm about that life.
Exactly. I'm willing 100%. To take all my other coffee makers I've ever owned or have, throw them all away. That's right.
Get the Nespresso machine. Yes. Exactly. And it feels so, it's so sophisticated. Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So if I ever get one, you know, hopefully if mom doesn't murder me for bringing another piece of coffee equipment into the kitchen.
Well, it just tells you that one more thing when you're looking for your next house, mm-hmm. counter space or an appliance garage.
I like, and you know what? More so, I'm leaning towards the appliance garage with the built-in machines. Yeah. That is so awesome. There I might go. Even Google that later on you and should. See what that looks like.
It's like these high-end, like, Italian type of kitchens where it's literally, you know, where because of space, you don't put counters in. It's just a big bank of nothing but, you know, cabinetry. And somewhere in there in the middle at eye level or so is your little garage. Roll up the garage door and there it all is. So at the end of the day, you're... What you do have for counters is nice and clear. And
oh, yeah, because it's tucked away. It's a hot mess. It's a hot mess going on.
I gotcha. I gotcha. Well, in that case, Dana, seeing we're down to the last few things for the day here before we let our people go. Any I dare you two items from you today, or are you saving yourself up?
I'm saving myself up. Okay. How about you?
Okay, I do have one. So I have a new favorite unread book, except for the first chapter here. From one of my favorite authors. The name of the book is A World Without Email. Reimagining Work in an Age of Communication Overload. Sound familiar, everybody? it's by Cal Newport. It literally just came out a couple weeks ago. He's the author of other books that I've talked about, Digital Minimalism and Deep Work. Both of those two books are just great. And if all I know is this sounds like a fantasy world thing, a world without email, but just to think that if this is possible, I want to be there. I want to figure out how to live in a world without email.
Oh man. So after you read the book, then you have to, of course you got to tell us about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to figure out how do I implement this?
Yeah.
So let's figure that out. Dana, I think that's about all we really have time for today on the show. Otherwise we'll have a 3-hour episode just talking about this book as I read chapter by chapter on it. So I want to thank my co-host Dana for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSF aaa.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcspa@gmail.com.
For this and all the What's Brewing CISPA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, open your podcast app and search for CISPA. You can also find our episodes at wbcspa.podbean.com. And you can find us on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISPA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 71, recorded the morning of Tuesday, March 9th, 2021. Have a great day.
And have a great week.